that a younger share base is a very different beast from a lot of the companies that you're used to. They're less day trading, they're more into a story, they don't protect their money as much as some people who are later in life, and they tend to be gamblers, so let's get stuck in. Hi, I'm Chris. You may remember me from my days as a reporter at the Vancouver Sun and Province newspapers, where I used to sit behind David Baynes and watch him kick the living crap out of a lot of people in this room. After that, I moved to Stockhouse, where I was director of editorial for a few years, and saw what the industry has been doing for the last few decades in terms of promotion, and figured I might be able to do something better. So I started Equity.Guru. Now, Equity.Guru is a website that is devoted to two things. One, a cross between investigative journalism and stock promotion, that is half Stockhouse, half David Baynes. That we do this in a way that no one else has done before, where we take money from companies to talk about them, but we don't guarantee them positive press. If they don't earn it, then they don't get it. And if they don't get it, it's for good reason, no refunds. And that allows us, when we talk about nice things about companies, it actually means something. The other side of Equity Guru is we're very specifically devoted towards building new investors. So that means your children, your grandchildren. If you look around this room, there's no one under the age of 30 here that I can identify. Maybe one over there. I said, no way, no chance. Get your hand down. So I'm 47, I'm one of you guys, but I can see the writing on the wall. If I'm advertising a company, I want to have younger people buying that product because they'll be buying it for the next 25 years. And because they'll have more income next week than they had this week. Whereas retirees, they get a little bit clutchy with their pensions for good reason. And if they lose money, then there's nothing to go back for. So we want those new young people. When I was at the Sun, I learned one very important thing. Every year the stats came out as to what the reader demographics were. And every year, those demographics went up by one. That means no new readers and a few readers falling off the twig at the other end. This is where that ends. Grandma, how are you doing? What I learned at Stockhouse was there are a lot of ways to charge you for a lot of things that a lot of people don't really want in their inbox, that maybe one person out of 1,000 might actually read and another one person out of 1,000 might actually use. This doesn't seem to me like a very good way to market your business. In fact, if you were marketing a business selling widgets through the ways that we market our mining programs, where we throw $300,000 and 8 or 9 different people and hope that one of them somewhere finds an audience that will invest in our business, we'd all be very broke very quickly. So to me, making your investors is the important thing, and no one here is doing it. So we started Equity.Guru. What's the timeline on that? Last February it was me eating a bagel in a cafe in Steveston, hoping that I could get more than one client. A year later, we have 32 clients, 2 offices, 8 writers, bunch of editors and sales folks. That's by doing things differently than everyone else is doing them. By telling companies that we will cover them but not promote them, that they have to earn their stripes, we actually found companies prepared to do business with us. And you would think that they would say, but wait, if you're going to write negatively about me, I don't want a part of that, I'm not going to pay for that. Number one, at least you're in the conversation. Number two, if we're writing negative things about you, you earn the right. Do things better and we will cover you and it will make sense. February 2018, I'm not even talking to you people, I'm going to be so successful. And then in 2019, I become a bit of a cautionary tale as I die of cocaine abuse. These are the things I know. The entire capital market space is fighting over the people in this room. So every one of you who has a company, you're desperately trying to get one or two guys to fork into their pocket and get 10 or 20 grand out so your share price goes up a couple of percent. If you're an investor, you're looking for the share that's going to go up a couple of percent. Now, you can look at grade, you can look at yield, you can talk all the same stories that everyone in the room is talking. If you took the backdrop of any one company and changed it with the backdrop of another company, no one would notice the difference for half the show. Everyone's got the same story, we're drilling holes, we hope we'll do well. But nobody is talking the real story behind the companies. What are the tales behind the companies that actually get people interested in hearing more? It's not yield. It's not drill results. What's the story behind the story? I did an interview with the CEO of MDX Minerals last year. He told me how he was chased down the side of a mountain by a bear because he wouldn't get trailers for his geos while he was on site making sure the drills were in the right direction. To me, that was a great story. Because number one, he's trying to save money, my money. Two, he's out there on the actual side of the mountain. Three, got chased by a bear, that's pretty fucking cool. So, you guys that are over 65, you're very, very jealous of your money. You want to keep your money, you don't want to lose anything. That's perfectly understandable. If you have a win, great. But if you don't have a win, your money goes down. So your ability to buy my stock goes down. If you're under 35, you're spending your money on all sorts of dumb crap, which makes you the perfect investor. The perception here is that young people work as baristas, they don't have any money. If they do have money, they're living in their parents' basement, they're not going to buy a line of stock. And they're so lazy, you have to go to their front door to actually get them to sign a check. And of course, you guys, they don't like you guys to begin with because suits, you know, they don't play with suits. And they have no interest in making money. All this, of course, is complete bullshit. This is not the younger investor. This is some neckbeard from Gastown. Now, advertisers understand this. Advertisers are going for the younger investor or the younger consumer, because once you get these guys, they move as a tribe. You get one young investor and double his money on a zinc mine, he's going to Twitter, he's going to Facebook, he's going to Instagram, and he's telling 10,000 people. If he loses money, he's not going to tell anybody. But if he makes money, now you've got advertising for free for 10,000 other people who maybe have never thought about investing before, let alone in a zinc mine. Younger people don't have mortgages yet because, Christ, most of us can't afford them now. They don't have kids, and if they come to you and have success, then they bring others with them. They become a tribe. They become zealots for your ticker symbol. Instead of walking around here trying to convince somebody to take your data seriously, you get one kid who makes money for your stock, it's a wave. Sometimes it's a silly wave, but it's a wave. And who wouldn't want these guys as shareholders? Come on, they're adorable. They look good on your investor presentation. A lot better than I look. So the truth of millennial investing is that 87% of their trading this year so far, according to data that I've been able to track down, has been in equities. They're not investing in mortgage funds, mutual funds. They're not getting in ETFs. ETFs takes away the thrill of finding one win. That's what they're in it for. They're gambling. Right? If they're not investing, they're putting their money in online poker. They're putting it in daily fantasy sports. They're putting it in finding the new brand of jeans that you haven't figured out yet and that you're not cool enough to hear about. Translate that into investing. That competitive nature, that ability to dive into data, translates really well for mining. And mining, above all other sectors, is the one place where nobody's mortgaging and nobody's minting new investors. Millennials will dig into market inefficiencies. They look for turnarounds. Marijuana got them in the door over the last few years. They understand marijuana. They can buy that all day long. They all have Scarface posters in their college dorms. Marijuana fits them perfectly. So does lithium-ion batteries. Everything that these guys do is battery-based. So you tell them, hey, graphite. You know what graphite does? It's in a lithium-ion battery. Suddenly their eyes are open. You tell them zinc and nickel and copper and cobalt is in the lithium-ion battery. Suddenly their eyes don't glaze over. You think that they're not interested in mining because mining's terrible and polluting and destroys the environment. The reality is, they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. They watch football. If their favorite player necks somebody and puts him out of the game on a stretcher, they're not going to say that was a terrible play. They're going to say, yeah! They want to win. And all of your companies are in the situation where you want people to be not just invested in your stock, but so passionate about your stock that they're going to go to the street and tell people, yeah, I'm going into ZMK. Now, one other thing. Millennials, at least those on our website, care less about your yield, more, less about your grade, and more about who's actually promoting the stock. This has been a big thing with those in the last year, is guys want to know, they don't care if there's a long-term strategy for a company. They care if 500 grand has been spent on marketing because they know that the stock's going to go up. They also know it's going to come down the other side. They want to make sure that they know who's in and when they're going to get out. So who's behind a deal becomes all the more important than what the actual deal is. You've all seen many, many mining plays where you look at the numbers and think, this is a great investment, but the market doesn't get behind it. Meanwhile, you see crappy companies all day long that have a great story that managed to get that wave, and then in comes the market over the top, chasing the market. So if you were to take the Canadian public markets on a Venn diagram and split it between younger people and older people, you would assume that the market focus would be something like this. In actual fact, it's more like that. Now, if you don't see an inefficiency there, well, I can't help you, but I see a real inefficiency. In fact, there's a bigger inefficiency, if we're really honest about it, outside of those two graphs is the women graph. No one's talking to women at all. We'll fix that in the next 6 months, but if you're already an investor, you might be sitting here thinking, why do I give a shit about whether younger investors are coming into the market or not? Good question, I'm glad you asked it. Here's why, because the market needs new money. Now, you guys can call people in China, you can get some money here, you can convince TELUS to invest in a wheat stock or convince somebody to empty their pension fund, but realistically, you need a steady stream of new money into this market for all of you guys to make money on the back of it. You have the knowledge and wisdom, you have the experience. The younger people are stupid, but they have the money. So if you can convince the younger people to come in and you can actually identify where those younger people are coming in, then you're going to benefit from their stupidity, at least while they're still stupid. Look around, someone in this room could be dead next year. I'm not going to say who, but I have a good idea. At least one of you, maybe a couple. Some of you aren't going to be here. You might be out on a stretcher, you might be out of money. But at least some of you aren't coming to this conference next year. So who's going to come in your place? Who's going to come? Is it going to be your kids? Is it going to be the guy down the block who's made money rolling over a real estate deal? You guys need to be conscious of the fact that this market is never healthy if it's doing what the Sun Newsroom Reader Data is doing and aging by a year every year. So the younger generation, from an ethical standpoint, doesn't really understand mine, it doesn't really dig it, thinks it's the last thing they really want to invest in, until, like I said, you mentioned lithium-ion batteries. Now suddenly they're interested. When you mention that you're going to need lithium-ion batteries by the truckload to run wind power and solar power efficiently, now suddenly they start looking at mining as being a thing that's not just for rich old guys in suits. There's no new investors, there's no liquidity, no profits, and we all die a long, slow death in the gutter. Again, I'm not going to say who, I have a fairly good idea, but just the brokers and first on the wall. If you're mining and begging the new investors, that you go to the same old guys every time. When people walk around here and they saw you last year, they saw you the year before. They don't say, tell me about your deal, they say, how come your deal hasn't been popped yet? So, to get new investors, the only way a guy in the industry can do it is to build it from scratch. There's no school out there building new penny stock investors. You need to take the responsibility to actually go out and reach out to people outside of your simple comfort zone and convert them into new investors. Because I'll tell you what you'll do, they'll stay with you. They'll stay with you more than just a 10% flip. They'll stay with you for the next 3 years. Because they don't want 3%, 30%, 50% on their money. The marijuana sector shows anything. They're in for 500%, and when they get that 500%, they're still going to let it ride because they're gambling. It's someone else's money. So if you're a mining investor, you need money coming in your stocks so the price rises. If the company that you're investing in isn't doing the work to actually expand out their investor base beyond just the people you can touch in this room, then you're the mark. You're the easy guy. You're the weak spot that they go to tap you on the shoulder and take your money so they can go and pay for their country club fees. If they're not going out there and digging deep to find new resource investors, to meet new ones, to convince people who've never thought about this before that this is a thing, they're just doing the easy thing. How many IR guys out there have a list of guys they've been going to for 10 years? How many brokerage houses in the last 20 years have had an investment seminar in a hotel ballroom? None. Nobody's doing it. You just sit around and wait for the same old guys to come around, hope they still have some spare money, and then they're going to give it to you instead of the 80 other companies in the room. Integra Gold, to me, is a great example of the way a company should be run in this space. Integra had a problem asset out in Quebec. I met with them 2 years ago, and the first question they said to me was, should we change the name of this thing? A couple of different owners have screwed it up. No one wants to give us the time of day. We can't get anywhere in any boardrooms. Investors aren't looking at us. And I said, no, own it. Fix this property. And then you guys will get the credit for that. And then it doesn't matter that you're young anymore. Do everything that everyone says is the wrong thing. So they did. They went to PDAC and they dumped 7 terabytes of mining data into open source and said anyone who wants to look at it can look at it. And whoever gets the best mining plan out of that will get $100,000 to. It was the talk of PDAC. Everyone knew about Integra. Instead of blowing out a big resource estimate, they went small. They drilled right into where they knew the gold was, and they started producing small scale and growing that. They did everything the opposite to what you would normally do. They played money ball. And then he's got a nice big 9-figure payout as a result of that. 3 days later, doing most of that in a down market. There's a young team doing this business in a young man's way. And no offense to the older guys, there's this amazing knowledge that I've personally profited from in this room and outside this room. But guys, just because you're gray-haired doesn't mean you have to think like a gray-haired guy. Just because gray-haired guys are traditionally in this market doesn't mean that's all you've got to do. There's an old marketing strategy that says if you're selling gardening shovels and you try and sell them to little old ladies who garden, you're never going to make any money because there's already companies doing that. You need to market to the young girls who don't garden but who might like to eat healthy and grow their own tomatoes. And then on the other side of the spectrum, younger guys who you can tell, hey, shoveling dirt makes your pecs stronger. If you can market to those two sides of the spectrum, the middle takes care of itself. So goes in investor relations. If you're just going to the same guys, you're doing it wrong. You need to find new guys. You need to convince people this is how it's done. So at Equity Guru, what we did to address this problem was we cover companies in a way that is devoted to 101 investing. What is a stock? How do I trade stock? How do I open a trading desk? What does a broker give me that a trading desk doesn't? Why should I be in mining? Mining sucks. Why should I be in cobalt? I don't understand it. What's a private placement finance? These guys, they don't care what your grade is. The grade makes their eyes cross. They want to know the story behind the story. Why are you different from the 80 other companies here? Because you all look the same to these guys. So what we did, we take a client's company money as a marketing program, and we tell them we're going to say nasty things about you. Because every company has its nuts and bolts and its stuff it doesn't want to talk about. It has its pros, it has its cons, it has its things that it has to fix. So we focus on those things you have to fix. Because you're going to legitimize yourself over the next 3 to 6 months. And as you legitimize yourself, you're going to be easy for us to talk nice about. An example of this is Lifestyle Delivery Systems, a marijuana company that was a client of ours a year ago. Did a whole bunch of things that it said it wasn't going to do, and we ripped it to pieces. And the stock price plummeted, and it came up again, and we said, nope, still not ready, and the stock price went down. And then a couple of weeks ago, we put them on a live stream, and they showed us through their facility, which is finally getting completed, with product that's finally rolling out the door. All the problems have been fixed. This stock jumped 23% the next day. No one else is covering it, hadn't moved in a month, and up it went 23% the next day because we shit all over it before we said nice things. Now, one thing the younger audiences want is they want to see you cut a brother. They want to see prison justice. If a company goes bad, they don't want you to stop talking about it. They want you to tear it to pieces. For everything you say nice about a company, they want to see you say something nasty about someone else because they know that they're being sold to. There's all my competitors in this room. They're going to say nice things about companies that are paying them, and they're going to have 12-page disclosure statements that say, essentially, don't believe what I'm saying. I was paid to say this. Realistically, I don't know what I'm talking about. I could be dead next week. Please don't put your money in anything I say. We don't have those disclosure statements. We say this is a client or they're not. We bought into it because we liked it and we did. Now, the T-Guard experience is interesting. And Green Organic Dutchman is a company that is in the marijuana space, and they wanted a nice, big retail investor base as they went public. So we said to them, what we're going to do is we're going to write a story called Your First Private Placement Finance. And we're going to explain to people exactly what a PP is, what does the form look like, what are the questions you're going to get asked, how do I know if I'm an accredited investor, how do I talk to a broker, what's the broker going to say to me, what do I get on the other side of it, what's a warrant? So we put that story together as part of a $10 million pre-listing financing. The result of the story, as we went into very great detail in a very flippant way, was that T-Guy got 4,300 people requesting the suburbs. And that wasn't all of us. I'd love to say it was all us. They did a good job of getting the story out. But of those 4,300 people that submitted their suburbs, 2,300 were qualified and delivered a check. Now that's unprecedented. And any one of you who are invested in a company that has 2,300 investors, it's called BMO or Air Canada. It doesn't happen in the junior space. When these guys go public and that 4 month hold comes off, there's 2,300 people that are in for the first time that are going to hold on to that stock. Now, if obviously qualifying 2,300 people for a PP is a drag, you've got to get a team of people doing it, and most IR guys and brokers not have a part of this thing. But if you're only getting your PP with five large guys in there, one guy decides he doesn't like this stock anymore, he's got to buy a toy for Jimmy for Christmas, your stock is crushed. You got a base of 2,300 small guys, guys that like your story and are in it for a 500% return, they do not do this. I'm going to wrap it up quickly. So we're taking the message to where the non-investors are. I hope you guys come to equity.guru. I apologize in advance for the salty language and the fact that some of you are going to be dead. What we do with our site is we don't bring everyone back to our site and hope that you'll come back many times. We go out to where the people are. So we live stream on Twitch, which has 60 million unique users a month and is used for video game streaming. We're the only outfit on Twitch that talks about markets. We interview CEOs Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. We get out on Facebook, Twitter. We have a podcast. We're doing all the things that you would do. We go to places like Vancouver is awesome, which the millennials go to figure out where to go on a weekend. We're doing the things that your IR guys should be doing to try and attract new people, new money, and get to a place that no one here has got to yet, where you've got an entirely new investment base as opposed to a tiny piece of what's out there currently. To my competitors, you can thank me later for giving me all my secrets, but I'm going after the women next. I'll race you to that. And if anyone has any questions, I will be outside happy to answer any of them. Also, if you need to slap me in the face, I understand that too. Thank you very much.